On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about the Sacrament of Baptism with Bishop David Bonner and Ursuline Sister Mary McCormick. Find more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo, at catholicecho.org/podcast. And now, the host of the Catholic Echo podcast, Father Jim Korda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. Welcome to our show, Bishop Bonner.
Thank you, Father Korda. It is always a pleasure to be here.
Today we're going to talk about the first sacrament of the Church, and that is the sacrament of baptism. So our next subsequent shows are going to focus on the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. For us as Christians, baptism is really preeminent. We are baptized in the name of the Lord because we are followers and disciples of the Lord. Why is it so important for us to understand the role of the parents in that sacrament of baptism? We know on the rite, it says to parents, you are the teachers of your children in the ways of the faith. And then we encourage them, be the best of teachers in what you say and do. How can we continue to be supportive to parents, and why are parents' roles so crucial in baptism?
Well, it's not just that they are the teachers, they are the first teachers in the ways of the faith to these children, these infants. And of course, they set the tone. Baptism is not this magic. It's the experience of becoming one with the God and His Church in relationship and feeling that sense of belonging. Of course, washing away the stain of original sin as well. But it's incumbent upon the parents and the godparents to be those teachers. I mean, those first years of life are truly a classroom. So even though they can't have a theological conversation or even share with them a parable, just the way that they live out their lives as husband and wife, as parents, how they talk to each other, how Christ is revered in the home, really says much about their faith life. And so it's also important that these couples, and the Church mandates this, participate in a pre-baptism instruction of some kind, just to open their eyes to the wonderful gift that is now going to be theirs, but the incredible responsibility that comes with that gift.
We know that there are many young people nowadays that present their child for baptism that unfortunately are not currently practicing the faith. And yet we as the Church encourage them to participate, to raise their child in the practice of the faith. That presupposes that they're practicing the faith. What can we as a Church and as a diocese do to encourage young people to participate more in the celebration of the Mass? Of course, we're trying to do that with adults as well, but that is really important for us to be role models to young people to encourage them to practice the faith.
Well, I think there's two things that we can do. One is we need to, those of us who find great joy in attending Mass, we need to keep doing what we're doing and sharing the joy and the peace that we bring home with us every Sunday. I think we just need to keep modeling our faith in that regard. The second thing, though, is we need to be like Pope Francis and invite these people to encounter Jesus or to experience a new encounter. That's really how he begins his beautiful apostolic exhortation, the joy of the gospel, with that invitation for all Christians everywhere in this time and place to open themselves to an encounter with Jesus or even to experience a renewed sense of encounter.
Let's talk about that word conversion. You know, that kind of scares a lot of people, but conversion and a change of heart obviously doesn't happen to an infant, but at some point in our adult life, we have to have a conversion. We have to have what the Greeks call a metanoia, a change of heart. How do we sustain that once we have it? Because it is difficult in the world that we live in.
I think the answer to that is it's a matter of simply being true to our faith, continuing to be present to the sacraments, Eucharist, reconciliation, and to be intentional people of prayer. I think that's how we try to sustain that change of heart and to surround ourselves with people who are going to make us accountable. For us priests, typically that is a spiritual director, but that doesn't preclude a lay man or a lay woman from having a spiritual director, someone who they can share their spiritual journey with and seek direction.
And how important is it for us to not only share the faith, but to talk about the faith? You know, some people really kind of shy away from that. Some people feel inadequate about that. But yet we are all called through our baptism to be followers of Jesus in what we say, in what we do, and in how we live. What I'd like us also to talk about is that sense of being born again. I could still recall the series Jesus of Nazareth, when Nicodemus saw Jesus on the cross, and he just said to himself, I understand what it means to be born again. So understanding that we take Christ's life unto ourselves, and we become a new creation. And we certainly celebrate that in baptism, but that's really a daily thing that we do as adults. What are some of the things that we can do as adults to replenish and to renew ourselves in the faith?
One of the simple acts that we do it so often, it's so familiar that we can take it for granted, but it's when we enter the church and we dip our finger into the holy water font and bless ourselves. That moment takes us back to our baptism. It's a touchstone. And so it's a reminder that we are named and claimed for Christ and that we belong to the church. I think that's a clear demonstrative way for us to be able to keep this whole sense front and center in our lives.
And of course, we know when one is baptized, that we are baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So there's that communal aspect, not only the communion of God, but we gather around the community of the faithful, whether it's our parish community, our family community. Why is the communal aspect so crucial to who we are as Catholic Christians?
Because our faith is a communal faith. And Jesus echoed that when he said, where two or three gather in my name, there am I in their midst. Our faith is meant to be shared and lived out together. No man or no woman is an island when it comes to the faith. We do have our lonely times, our solitudinal times, but at the end of the day, our faith is a communal faith.
One person that I like to lift up is the person of John the Baptist. You know, he was the one that prepared the way of the Lord. He was the one that baptized Jesus, that made all waters of baptism new again. What can we learn from John the Baptist in our own daily life and conversions?
Humility. John knew that he was not the Christ. He was not the Savior. People wanted to make him that or thought that he was the Savior, but he was very clear in stating that I am not he and I'm not worthy to fasten the sandals on his feet. He also, if we go back to the scriptures, said, you know, he must increase, I must decrease. He knew his role. He knew he was simply a voice among many, but a voice, an agent.
Bishop Bonner, we look forward to subsequent shows on the sacraments. We're going to talk more about baptism in just a moment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll hear from others with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on Sundays at 6:30 a.m. on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM-FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1, or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. There you'll find recent stories about Catholic life in all six counties of the Diocese of Youngstown, plus recent videos, podcasts, and even national and global news. You'll find it all at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Welcome to our show. I'm talking with Sister Mary McCormick, and of course we've been talking about baptism with Bishop Bonner. So welcome, Sister.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
You know, I think for us as Catholics, obviously the first sacrament that we celebrate is baptism. So I think it would be good for the folks that are with us if we talked a little bit about what a sacrament is. I know, kind of hearkening back to my days at the Immaculate in grade school, where I was learning with the Baltimore Catechism, a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. But sacrament is even more than that. So if you could talk a little bit about what exactly are we talking about when we refer to the sacrament?
Yeah, thank you. I, too, am old enough to remember that definition. And I think it has served us well, that whole sense of an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. When we think about any of the sacraments, it is a way of making Christ, making God present in our world. That's part of that outward sign, that it's internal. There is an effect that the sacraments have on us, but there is something visible, too. And we use elements of the earth, elements of nature to effect that sign. And when we gather as a community of faith, when we say certain words, when we pray in a certain way, when we use things of the earth, water for baptism and oil for baptism, and the community of faith is gathered there, what the church prays for, what the family prays for, actually does happen.
Before we actually talk about going into the biblical references and the beginnings of baptism in the life of Christ himself, let's talk about that whole sense of what baptism does, actually, for the newly baptized. What's baptism all about?
Well, baptism, of course, is the first sacrament that one receives. Mm-hmm. It is, in a sense, it's the key to the life of faith. And typically in the church, we talk about two primary effects of baptism. One is the cleansing of original sin, that whole sense of being washed clean. Water is part of that. Perhaps in your parish, you may have baptism by immersion. Mm-hmm. Children get immersed in the tub, or the pool, and adults too. You know, perhaps on the Easter Vigil, adults may have an immersion. And that's that washing away the old life and coming to a new life in Christ. So that's one. Second, and these are linked together, is becoming now part of the body of Christ, becoming part of this community of faith. That's why it's really nice if baptism is celebrated at the Sunday Mass, because, yes, it's a family celebration. Family and friends are gathered, but it's the whole community of faith. Same thing at the Easter Vigil. We want the community of faith to be there because this person or these persons being baptized are now part of this large community of faith.
You know, we talk about original sin, but for some of the folks that are with us, they may not have ever heard of original sin. Where does that harken back to?
On the one hand, we could say it goes back to the beginning, the very beginning, in the sense of this sin, while we live in a world of grace, while God has created everything good, Genesis chapters 1 and 2 point that out to us. Genesis chapter 3 talks about Adam and Eve rejecting God and turning away from God. Now, don't think we hold that as a historical story anymore. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, it tells us the truth that while we live in this world of grace, there's also been the reality of sin. And that talk about original sin talks about the sin that's with us from our origins. Mm-hmm. And that, not that we're born into it exactly, but we're affected by it. And every human being is. And so I will think of the birth of any child, all the joy, all the goodness, all the grace that comes with that. And yet we all know that children are going to be influenced by sin and evil. I think of the children who live in parts of the world now that are in war through no fault of their own. They're affected by sin and evil, and original sin goes back to those days. The doctrine itself, although this could be a whole separate topic, the doctrine of original sin really goes back to St. Augustine, and that's about the 5th century.
Let's talk now about John the Baptist, who really is the precursor of Jesus, but also the one who begins talking about preparing for the kingdom. And baptism really is a preparation for our full thrust into the kingdom of God as members. So what is the role of John the Baptist when we talk about baptism?
You know, even his name tells us something about baptism. So he's always referred to as John the Baptist. Mm-hmm. He is, one way we can think about John the Baptist is being the last prophet before Christ, that he would have been a peer of Jesus himself, and by tradition we think a cousin of Christ. But he prepares the way, as you said. Mm-hmm. And there was such a burning in John's own life, knowing that the Messiah was coming, the Lord was coming, and he wanted the hearts of the people in his own day to be prepared for that. Perhaps one of the most famous stories of John the Baptist is when he baptizes Jesus. In a sense, that's a troublesome story in the scripture because, when I was mentioning before, baptism is about the cleansing of sin. Jesus was free from sin, and certainly there's not that. But that ritual action that John the Baptist did, taking Jesus into the river, baptizing him, really was a way and a time when God could manifest the special role of Jesus. All of the Gospels have that story, and all of the Gospels also talk about this kind of an epiphany, a manifestation of the presence of God to indicate that this Jesus was going to have a particular role in salvation history, a decisive role, you know, a universally salvific role in history. And John is the one who prepares the way for that.
What I think I'd like us to focus on, you had mentioned elements of the earth, water and oil. Why do we as Catholics, when we celebrate the sacraments, use particular matter that reminds us of our roots, but also of those things that are ordinary around us that become extraordinary in their use in celebrating a sacrament?
It's a great question. And I want to go back to the creation itself. You know, when God created the heavens and the earth, one of the things Genesis reminds us of is all of that is good. Mm-hmm. All of it's good. And so the elements of the earth, and especially who we are as human beings, are good. Human beings being very good. And so we use these elements of the earth to remind us of the basic goodness of all of creation. But when we use them in a certain way, they point to something more. We know that from our own lives. There are times, there are places, there are gestures, there are words that have a significance. Words like love. You know, I can use the word love to talk about something pretty inconsequential, you know. I love chocolate. Mm-hmm. But when I say it to a certain person, you know, a member of my family, if I say it to my mother, if I say it to my spouse, if I say it to my children, when I say I love you, that has a significance to it. Gestures, you know, holding hands. It could be, just something we all do in fear, but it also can be a very intimate moment of sharing things. So when we use things like water, oil, in the Eucharist, bread and wine, common elements, the Church uses them in a way where they point to a reality much greater than themselves.
We're going to talk more about that, but we need to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in Northeast Ohio? That is more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions, as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
The Catholic Echo magazine is delivered free of charge to anyone who is registered at a parish in the Diocese of Youngstown, but subscriptions are also available for non-parishioners. A subscription costs $40 per year, and you can buy one for yourself or gift a subscription to a loved one. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org for more information.
Thank you. Welcome back to our show. I'm talking with Ursuline Sister Mary McCormick on the sacrament of baptism. I've always been intrigued by the story of Nicodemus, found in John's Gospel, chapter 3, I think verses 1 through 21. I love that story of the Pharisee visiting Jesus at night in the shadows of darkness, and Jesus talking with him, and they use that phrase, to be born again. You know, we as Catholics oftentimes shy away from those words, being born again, or Jesus is our personal Savior, but those are important words and images, but also truths that we should live by. What is that whole meaning of being born again in baptism all about?
It's interesting you mention that, because as soon as you ask the question, a couple of things come to mind. I've been watching The Chosen, The character of Nicodemus in The Chosen is such an interesting character. Because on the one hand, he's a religious leader. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he's so interested in this Jesus and the effect that Jesus has. And we see that he's born again. Mm-hmm. Question Nicodemus asks in John 3 is, how can that be? You know, none of us is born again. Yeah. But there is a sense that sometimes something happens in life, and usually that something that happens is an encounter with somebody that makes us change our lives. Often the experience of falling in love can do that. Mm-hmm. I look at life in a brand new way. The meaning of my life takes on new meaning. Mm-hmm. It's very often happens with an encounter with somebody, and I want my life to be new. A couple of years ago, I was talking to one of the seminarians, and we were talking about his own vocation story. And after a while, he stopped. He said, you know, I'm talking about myself as if I had died. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't die, but I am a new person. Mm-hmm. And he talked about how his life had changed because of, with him, an encounter with Jesus, an encounter with the church in a new way, and how his life had changed.
You know, it's interesting as you were talking, one thing that comes to mind is that we are baptized once. We are changed once. We are people who become disciples, members of the body of Christ through baptism. But it's a renewing of that baptismal promise that our godparents and parents made for us at our baptism that we need to do continually. Mm-hmm. And there's different seasons throughout the liturgical year where we do that, certainly during the Lenten season, during the Easter season, in Advent and Christmas. We remember, we recall those special events, but especially our baptism when we were immersed into this new life of Christ. Why do we sometimes forget that we need to be changed and born again almost on a daily basis?
That's a really good insight. And I think you're right. For many of us, we were baptized as infants, and so we don't remember. We see pictures, you know, we see videos, we have the moment captured, but it's as if it were in the past. The effects of baptism, though, last a lifetime, and we do sometimes forget. The church has built in times to help us remember. As you said, the Easter season is one of them. Right. When the community of faith gathers at Easter, whether at the Easter Vigil itself or in Easter Sunday Mass and throughout the whole Easter season, we often have what's called a sprinkling rite. And that sprinkling rite reminds us of the waters of baptism. Mm-hmm. I think for any parent or grandparent or godparent who has taken their children or grandchildren to baptism, it does raise the question in our own lives, what did this mean for me? I think for all of us, you know, we were given the gift of faith as very often as infants and children. But at some point in our adult lives, we have to say, so how do I live this? How do I embody being a member of the body of Christ? How do I live out and actualize being a member of this faith community? Part of that is, how do I love? How do I serve? How do I participate as a member of this larger institution?
Let's talk a little bit about baptism itself. We know that there are certain things that we celebrate within the ritual of baptism. There's the anointing with the oil of catechumen. There's subsequently, after baptism, the anointing with chrism. There's the white garment. There's the candle. So talk about some of those symbols and why we use those within the sacrament.
Baptism is so rich with symbols. One of them, of course, is the white garment. And there's a special baptismal gown garment that we wear. And it is to symbolize that now living a new life in Christ, where I am free from sin. In my own family, you know, the baptismal gown that we use is one that was made by my great-grandmother for my grandmother. So it is now a good 120, 130 mm-hmm. years old. In my family, we still use that baptismal gown. Mm-hmm. And, you know, on the one hand, we do it because of family. But family is connected to mm-hmm. this being part of the family of faith. Mm-hmm. Every person who's ever been baptized has been baptized with the same words. Mm-hmm. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When those words are said by the priest or the deacon, it's also part of giving the name. Mm-hmm. I baptize you, and your name is pronounced. Not only the name your parents have given you, and that's part of the rite too, the naming, mm-hmm. but now you are part of this family of faith, part of your family, but you're part of this larger family. The candle, always lit from the Paschal candle, mm-hmm. reminding us of the dying and the rising of Jesus, and that candle then goes with you. You know, often in our families, we continue to celebrate that light of Christ with birthday candles, mm-hmm. the blowing out of the birthday candles, but it should remind us also of our baptismal light and how that stays with us from the moment of our baptism throughout our lives.
You know, it's interesting, as you were talking, we all know the day we were born. We remember our mm-hmm. birth date, but how often do we remember the date that we were baptized?
Right.
I, fortunately enough, remember my baptism date. I was actually baptized 2 weeks after I was born, but I think it's a challenge for us as Christians is to recall not just our birthday, but the day that we were immersed into the waters of new life, where we were born again and became members of the body of Christ. What would you like to leave the folks that are with us primarily about why we celebrate baptism and why it's so important for us?
Even though we don't often think about it concretely, mm-hmm. I do want to offer a couple things for people to help them jar their memory. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do as Catholics, every time we walk into a Catholic church, is we bless ourselves mm-hmm. with holy water, mm-hmm. whether there's a holy water bowl. And in some parishes, you know, the font is right there and people put their hands in the font. We do it kind of without even thinking. Mm-hmm. The next time you go in and bless yourself with holy water, remind yourself that is the waters of baptism. So we should always think of baptism when we do that. And the fact that I'm a member of this body of Christ, again, with every other person who's ever been baptized. Second, every time we say the creed, mm-hmm. and we, as a faith community, we say it every Sunday at Mass. Mm-hmm. Every time we say the creed, that's a repetition of right. the promises we made at baptism. Mm-hmm. So we think of it as the part of the Mass, and maybe some people think of it, it's like, okay, about halfway now, you know, it's a little bit of that. Mm-hmm. But it's also, here's what I believe. Mm-hmm. These were promises made for me when I was baptized as a member of this. I want to affirm those again. I want to live my life in light of those promises. Mm-hmm. And I do so with this community of people. I think for baptism, we want to focus on not only the grace that I receive, but the grace that we receive as a community of faith with all the other believers.
Ursula and Sister Mary McCormick, thank you so much for enlightening us and being with us as we lift up and celebrate baptism. For more information, you can go to catholicecho.org. The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.